can't do it by yourself. You have to get disciples first.
Simon, he turned to look down the length of the turtle. 30 men were crouched under the shell, looking very apprehensive. A corporal saluted.
The needle's there, Sergeant.
The brass whistle whistled. Simon, he picked up the steering ropes. This was what war should be, he thought. No uncertainty. A few more turtles like this and no one would ever fight again.
Stand by, he said.
He pulled the big lever hard. The brittle metal snapped in his hand. Give anyone a lever long enough and they can change the world. It's unreliable levers that are the problem. In the depths of the temple's hidden plumbing, Urn grasped a bronze pipe firmly with his spanner and gave the nut a cautious turn. It resisted. He changed position and grunted as he used more pressure. With a sad little metal sound, the pipe twisted and broke. Water gushed out, hitting him in the face. He dropped the tool and tried to block the flow with his fingers, but it spurted around his hands and gurgled down the channel towards one of the weights.
"Stop it! Stop it!" he shouted.
"What?"
said Fergman, several feet below him.
"Stop the water! How? The pipe's broken! I thought that's what you wanted to do!" "Not yet!"
"Stop shouting, mister! There's guards around!"
Urn let the water gush for a moment as he struggled out of his robe, and then he rammed the sodden material into the pipe. It shot out again with some force and slapped wetly against the lead funnel, sliding down until it blocked the tube that led to the weights. The water piled up behind it and then spilled over onto the floor. Urn glanced at the weight. It hadn't begun to move. He relaxed slightly. Now, provided there was still enough water to make the weight drop...
"Both of you stand still."
He looked around, his mind going numb. There was a heavy-set man in a black robe standing in the stricken doorway. Behind him a guard held a sword in a meaningful manner.
"Who are you? Why are you here?"
Urn hesitated for only a moment. He gestured with his spanner.
"Well, it's the seating, innit?" he said. "You've got shocking seepage around the seating. Amazing it holds together."
The man stepped into the room. He glared uncertainly at Urn for a moment and then turned his attention to the gushing pipe. And then back to Urn.
"But you're not..."
he began. He spun around as Fergman hit the guard hard with a length of broken pipe. When he turned back, Urn's spanner caught him full in the stomach. Urn wasn't strong, but it was a long spanner, and the well-known principles of leverage did the rest. He doubled up and then sagged backwards against one of the weights. What happened next happened in frozen time. Deacon Cusp grabbed at the weight for support. It sank down, ponderously, his extra poundage adding to the weight of the water. He clawed higher. It sank further, dropping below the lip of the pit. He sought for balance again, but this time it was against fresh air, and he tumbled on top of the falling weight. Urn saw his face staring up at him as the weight fell into the gloom. With a lever, he could change the world. It had certainly changed it for Deacon Cusp. It had made it stop existing. Fergman was standing over the guard, his pipe raised.
"I know this one," he said. "I'm going to give him a right."
"Never mind about that."
"But..."
Above them, linkage clanked into action. There was a distant creaking of bronze against bronze.
"Let's get out of here," said Urn. "Only the gods know what's happening up there."
And blows rained on the unmoving, moving turtle's carapace.
"Damn! Damn! Damn!" shouted Simony, thumping it again. "Move! I command you to move! Can you understand, Planophobian? Move!"
The unmoving machine leaked steam and sat there. And Om pulled himself up the slope of a small hill. So it came to this, then. There was only one way to get to the citadel now. It was a 1,000,000-to-1 chance, with any luck. And Brother stood in front of the huge doors, oblivious to the crowd and the muttering guards. The Quisition could arrest anyone, but the guards weren't certain what happened to you if you apprehended an archbishop, especially one so recently favoured by the prophet.
Just a sign, Brother thought, in the loneliness of his head.
The doors trembled and swung slowly outwards. Brother stepped forward. He wasn't fully conscious now, not in any coherent way, as understood by normal people. Just one part of him was still capable of looking at the state of his own mind and thinking... Perhaps the great prophets felt like this all the time.